welcome everyone to Yeshua's Blessing on this wonderful Sunday, November the 6th, 2011. I want to thank all of you for being here. You enrich my life just by joining and being in our circle of spirit. And I know that you enrich the lives of everyone you touch by doing this. Everyone on the call and everyone that extends outwardly from your life. And I know that this is the way that Yeshua intended to transform the planet. He didn't intend to do it by doctrine. Actually, he only taught the inner circle, the real secrets of his healing and his mission and what would lie ahead in the coming days and so forth. To others, he taught about how to have a better life, how to love one another, and most of all, to embrace their union with God and return to God. It was about love. It was a message of love, and it was a message in which really we were all regarded kind of as the prodigal son, if you will, born of the Father, born to inherit the estate of creation, born of love, not of sin. But we drifted away. We went out on our adventure, took our chances with life, and forgot who we were. And so his life was really basically an invitation to come home. Not just to the home of our original creation, but in a sense, yes, because he indicated that the kingdom of heaven is within. And so he was telling us to come home to the original true nature of our own being. And in doing so, to see that that was possible for every other human being, so that as we harvested these realizations and reclamations and renovations of life for ourselves, we could see that it would equally apply to anyone else, and that all of our adventures in life would then be transformed and converted into compassion. That which we have suffered or lost or even failed or actions through which we did wrong could all be turn to compassion to understand what might drive someone else to do wrong or how someone else might feel when they're really deathly ill or afraid or grieving for the loss of a loved one. How do others feel when they are in that situation? As we come together on this Sunday, we surrender all of those dramas. We surrender all of the pains. Not that they may stop existing, but for the moment, we enter the kingdom of heaven together. And we are here to strengthen one another in love, in spirit, in joy, in peace, and in faith. That what will be brought to us by Yeshua through the Holy Spirit from our Creator into our heart where we are reunited. These things are known only to you and to God. I want to take just a moment today, since we haven't done this for a while, and I know we have some new people always on our line, to remind you that this is an energetic conveyance. Actually, the more Yeshua has taught me through the years, the more he's come to reveal the fact that the language of spirit is energy. But it's not the hard crash and bang energy of the physical world as we know it, where cars run into mountainsides and tornadoes hit and earthquakes happen. That's the hard energy of the physical universe, which even science doesn't totally understand. But the entire energy of existence traces back to the first intention of God, who said, let it be. And there was a vast and enormous burst of light. energy from which all was created. And as it said in the scripture, by my spirit was all created. Well, so too from light was all created. So too as this energy of God was all created. And the very important value of this conveyance being done by energy is that it baffles the mind. And it baffles all the negative imprints we may have in our life. It baffles all the conditioning we may have consciously or unconsciously agreed to that contains the blueprint of our problems. And so through this energetic transmission, we just simply introduce into our life, our soul, our heart, and our being, the language of the Holy Spirit, which has the ability to go above, below, and through all of these templates of issues and problems that we want to be, we just want to shed. We just want to be done with. Now, it may not all happen at one time. Sometimes we need to experience the energy in order simply to reclaim our unity with it. And that happened for many people, even in the life of Yeshua. They would just follow him and follow him and follow him and ask, Lord, when will I receive my miracle? And Yeshua would say, within your faith you will receive it. And so our faith gets built through our connection with this energy. And people write me all the time and they say, Glenda, you know, I felt something in the first blessing, but it wasn't that strong. But you know, when the next Sunday came, I couldn't. There was just no way I was not going to be there. I put it above everything else. And I was there. And I felt a little bit more. I felt happy. And then again and again this happened. And now I look back 6 months later, and I hardly recognize myself. And it didn't come like a bolt of lightning. It came like a seed growing and then springing up from the earth and then rising to the sun. And I was all there. Everything about me that I'd become was all there. And I didn't see it happen. It's like watching the grass grow. But then you look back and you see how tall the grass is. And one of the letters said, it's like I'm now walking in a whole field of grass where there was a barren field before, and I'm ready to call someone in to bale it. I could feed horses with this grass. And I thought that was kind of funny since I'm a Texan and I could relate to that. So that may be how it will happen for you. Other people have written me with phenomenal miracles, healings. Third, fourth stage cancer. Go back to the doctor. It's all gone. Terrible, terrible long-term relationships that just clear up overnight. So there's a ripple effect. And I think for each one of us, how fast it will happen has to do with how able and willing and ready you are to allow the overall patterns of your life to change. The great miracles of our life do not exist outside the patterns of our life. They are part of the pattern. You see, we are born into a family that has its patterns of behavior, that inherited patterns of behavior, on a planet that has patterns of behavior, and so forth, into life forms. And all of these patterns, let me tell you this, they're all languages. It all really comes down to languaging. This is the great breakthrough in DNA research is when they discovered the language of the genome. It's actually a language, and by rewriting the language, they can't just remove and replace a gene, but they can alter the language of the genome and change the way it performs. And the more we're finding in spirit, or at least I'm finding and Yeshua's teaching me in my spiritual coaching, is we change our language with life. The way we approach it through a kind of syntax, a kind of language, that makes all the difference people come to me sometimes in my coaching session, and they'll tell me about a dream, and they'll say, Glenda, what does this mean? Or somebody said something to them randomly in a grocery store, and it hit them either positively or negatively, and they'll say, Glenda, what does this mean? And I'll have to say, well, frankly, I really don't know. But let's look at what preceded that and then what followed it. Let's look at the context in which that happened. And that context may reveal the language that you need to have in order to decode this symbolic communication. You know, one of the great discoveries of the 20th century was the Rosetta Stone that allowed us to decode hieroglyphics. Until then, they were just isolated symbols. What do they mean? We have to see them in sequence. I had an interesting discovery a few years ago when someone took actually I've had several people do this, Doreen Virtue, who's an angel teacher, very, very well known, highly published writer about angels, published by Hay House, and a good friend of mine. We've done seminars together. She asked me if I would consent to a contract where she could use my pictures to produce some angel cards. And then about that same time, someone else produced some cards. This was years and years ago. And they wanted permission to use some key words from Love Without End in those cards. They were prayer cards. And so I was playing around with these, and some days I would just draw a card, and it would say on it something like love or enthusiasm or faith or healing. And I would say, I would ask myself the same question that my clients would ask me. I would say, well, what does this mean? Because, you know, you could take one symbol or one word or one event, and you could project the world into it. It could be anything you want it to mean. And I think that's one of the problems many people have in trying to take isolated occurrences in the world and project a lot of meaning into it. You have to look at the whole context, the syntax. So I began to explore, okay, if there's a language in everything, I'm going to pull five prayer cards, keep them face down until I pull my five, and then with the face down, I'm going to intuitively arrange them and then turn them over and see if the sequence reveals something that prevents me from projecting into it a meaning. And, oh, my gosh, let me tell you what a difference it made. What a difference. It's like the meaning was revealed. It was there. So then I began to apply this to life. If somebody would say just an odd comment, rather than projecting into it, I would call them back and I would say, you know, I don't want to run the risk of misinterpreting what you said. Would you mind telling me just a little bit more about what you were intending to get across? And I'll get a clarification. See, here's what I'm trying to tell you, is that all things occur in a context. All things occur within a pattern of life, and the revelation often comes in that pattern and within the language. Some people, through their faith, have prepared themselves for a momentous revelation. Other people are just beginning on the path. So let the path unfold for you and allow it to become the language of spirit, and support it with other modes of language, other books that are inspirational for you, whether it's the Bible or Love Without End or some other teacher or some class or some course that you're taking. Allow it to blend with the whole language of revelations, and you will begin to see your faith built and a stronger message revealed. And on top of that, your whole body itself is a language. Your DNA is a language, and it will begin replicating the language of your faith, the language of your hope, and the language, most importantly, of your God, of your prayers to God and your heart. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. And we each have different ways of praying. Some people do it by just chanting or exuding some other energetic form, or maybe singing, just humming, or being there with words they pray over and over and over again. Some, they do it by supplication and talking to God as you would a parent, or a teacher, or the most reverent being you could ever humble yourself before. We have different ways of praying, but the important thing is the language of prayer has its own sequence in it, and it's important that you pray not just once, but twice and again, and allow your prayers to become perfect, like the Psalms of David, and subtle, and refined, and genuine, and simply as if they are exuding elixirs from your heart, so that your body, heart, soul, and being can replicate that language. Now, as your life becomes a new language, don't think for a minute it's not going to affect everyone around you. Let me just say this. If somebody walks in the room and says something to you that you don't know whether it's true or not, are you going to trust the words or are you going to trust that person's body language? Chances are you're going to trust the body language. You're going to trust the expressions on that person's face. You're going to trust the tones in their voice. Pardon me. Didn't bring enough water in. You're going to trust how the person sits down in the chair. In other words, you're going to trust the overall language of that person even more than the words they speak. You're going to trust the tone in the voice. And that's the point I'm trying to get across to you. It is energetic. I got so excited about expressing that I almost wore my voice out. I think I was using the language on so many levels. This is something we're actually starting to open up in our new webinar, and I'll give you the highlights in the blessing presentations as we go along. But really, every level of our life has its own language, and so approach it that way and see it as a language that you're developing and refining and applying to life. So I think we are at the point where it would be really good, speaking of language, if we had a little bit of interchange, and maybe I can even add to this important message because of what you have to offer, say, or ask. And your entry gate is *6. That unmute your telephone, although you may have to yourself physically unmute your telephone if you muted it. Then after you press *6, the prompt will ask you to press 1 if you actually want to speak. So as I wait for people to get on the call, I do have one thing to say, and that is we have always done our blessings with our bare feet on the floor, and that is still the best choice, but I also realize that in the northeastern part of North America, that may be a very uncomfortable and inadvisable situation, especially where we have shortages of heat and very, very cold weather outside. So what I would recommend as a substitute would be wool socks, natural fibers, or leather shoes. Anything that connects you to the earth, anything that's non-synthetic, okay? And you can be wrapped in a blanket, that's okay. Have nothing on your head. Be where it's safe to take the hat off, okay? And have your feet on either on the floor or using some natural substance. I'm not seeing any callers come on the line, so perhaps I will just keep... I'll just keep speaking and hope that those who wish to talk will speak up. I have a lot of people who have unmuted their telephone, but they haven't gone the other step of pressing 1, which brings you into the queue. So, one of my constant prayers for you. Let's see, we do have someone here. It's an anonymous call, and I don't know, so I can't even identify who you are. You are unmuted. If you can speak up, then perhaps I will hear you. One of my prayers for you always is just simply that you will receive according to that which allows you to know yourself as who you really are. The most important, the absolute most important message Yeshua ever gave to me in the beginning of our conversations was, Glenda, if there's nothing else you ever understand from me, know that love is who you are. And it's really quite amazing how that changed my life. It took me to another place where I didn't need to define myself by standards of the external world. And it still doesn't mean that on festive occasions I don't enjoy dressing up or that I don't enjoy just displaying the persona of an artist or when I'm in a seminar, the persona of a teacher. I think we all enjoy the roles we play. The important thing is that we can take those roles off like we take off a suit of clothes. And always we just are who we are. And I really feel that one of the keys to receiving Yeshua's blessing is to receive them authentically as you are. So often I think we pray to get help and answers for the problems that occur inside the stories we live. In other words, let's just say that our career is a story, or a relationship that we're in is a story, or let's say the story we have with our children or our parents. That there are really two major relationships in, a relationship we all can relate to, which is a parent-child, whether you're the child or the parent. You've had one. You may not have a child, but at least you've had a parent. So that relationship has existed for you. And you see that sometimes that relationship is playing out as a story, a drama maybe, and you're scratching your head and saying, what the heck is going on here? I just don't understand. I used to understand this person. I don't understand them anymore. And if you're a praying person, you may turn to prayer and say, oh, God, will you please let this person relate to me the way they used to relate to me? But you might not have given that extra thought to the fact that the way you used to relate was also a story. You see, both of you, at your pure self, are love. And there is a loving, pure, honorable reason why you were put in each other's lives. There are no accidents of birth. And that's why I chose that relationship. Some relationships, maybe they are the accidental products of some bad decisions we make. But there are no accidents of birth. There are just bad stories we build up on top of our parent-child relationship. And at first, usually, there are no stories because children defy stories. They, even though they create them like crazy, they'll come in and introduce you to their new fictional friend. They really don't live those stories. They know. They know they're playing, and they play all the time. And you just can't get around the authenticity of a child. And that's why relationships, unless they're so hard stressed by external circumstances, relationships with children are just among the most loving, therapeutic, memorable, and cherished relationships of our life. Because you can't get around the authenticity. It's just there. When we put the authenticity back to any relationship, it makes a huge improvement. And even though we still will have our stories, those stories can be deprioritized. And we can let them play out and let the stories have their own endings, knowing that it never was the story that mattered. It's the reality, the awesomeness of life, that has mattered in everything. A few days ago, my husband, who passes on constantly wonderful things to me, sent me a copy of the transcript from the memorial service of Steve Jobs. And this was a statement that had been made by his sister, who actually they didn't know each other in their early youth and formed a later in life discovery of one another, and then a wonderful relationship that was apparently quite authentic, because it was so important to them to have this discovery of one another. But that's just the story. I'm getting to the bottom line. She tells about his life, and these are things you can read online and find out if you're interested. I wouldn't be surprised if her eulogy was not also printed online. But the point I'm getting to, which is relevant to this blessing, is that right at the very, very end, right before his death, his family was surrounding his bed, and he had said farewell to each person. He had looked at each person in the eye, one by one, deeply and intensely. And then he looked above their heads, staring far off into distant space. And these were his last three words. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. At that moment, I'm sure he saw beyond and above all the stories. All the stories that existed with his family, even though they probably were mostly good stories, we still can get caught up in them. Even the stories of success, those catch us up even more and think of the success story he lived. Oh, wow. And I have been at the bedside of a number of people who have made their transition. And I have been remotely in prayer for many people who have made their transition and felt their energy at the moment of death. And I would say that that's a pretty universal comment. Even those who were intensely suffering the moment before death, what I have sensed telepathically, empathically, by compassion at that moment of transition was, oh, wow. Someone came back to me just a few moments after leaving and said, you would not believe the fireworks I'm looking at. There has never been a 4th of July like what I'm looking at. Now, the reason I say that is partly because nobody came online, and so I guess I was meant to carry this. The whole, that was entirely my fault. I forgot to put the Q&A session on. Oh, I'm so sorry, everyone. Here I was wondering where everyone was, and I personally forgot to put the Q&A session on. Well, Paul, there you are, and we have another, and we will have a few more. I'm going to take this for 5 minutes, okay? Everybody who gets on, keep your comment to 1 minute.
Hello, Glenda.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Yes, you know, I was thinking about what you said in regard to Steve Jobs, and when my uncle died out in Bismarck, North Dakota, his two sons came from different corners of the USA and were at his bedside, and and he was in a coma, but he sat up and he looked at them and he said, "Boys, it all makes sense to me now." And then died.
Thank you, Paul. That's a great addition to that story. And that's really what we're talking about, getting back to the self that we are. So we have someone on a U.S. cellular area 414. You're on. 1 minute.
Glenda?
Hi.
Hi, Glenda. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure that I was on. I just wanted to add, when you were talking about changing the language, I just wanted to encourage people who may have begun to come to the blessing call. When you talked about even changing the way that you pray, that was something I had always struggled with, and no, it didn't happen overnight, but I just want to encourage others who come to the blessing call and maybe walk away feeling like, quote-unquote, nothing happened, is to really pay close attention, because sometimes it's like so subtle you might miss it, and then one day you just realize you're praying differently, you're praying more positively, and even your willingness begins to be transformed as well. I just wanted to put that out there for anyone who might be a little discouraged.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. And let the word discouragement not be the word of the day, but faith. And we have a Joy Lay. Joy, area code 718. 1 minute,
hi.
Dear.
Hi, Glenda. I have a question about when you were talking about the prayer cards and how you came up with the sequence, because I do work with, you know, oracle cards to get, you know, some divine guidance, and I don't normally use a sequence, but I was wondering how do you uncover that, you know, in the cards, and then, yeah, so that's really my question.
Well, I think that's more than a one-minute comment or answer, unfortunately, but just play with it and let it reveal itself to you.
Okay.
Everything has a syntax. Look at the word syntax and examine it in relation to the human language. Rearrange a sentence and see how different the meaning is.
Okay.
Play with it. You'll figure it out.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and I might say more about this next time.
Okay, great.
Hi, William, you're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Yes, hi.
This is maybe a little bit off topic. I was wondering if you're familiar with the concept of tithing.
Of course.
As far as like giving 10% of your income to a place that has given you spiritual food or knowledge. I was wondering if you could speak to that.
Well, for one thing, we do, Spiritus Church accepts tithes, and I have talked about it many times. I think that it's part of the language of faith, that it's a little bit like paying it forward. We want to see our prayers answered, not only just in terms of feeling better in our heart. We want to see them answered in life. And I think the reason we tithe, we are encouraged to tithe to those who do spiritual work, is that we know that our gifts will be put into stewardship that is applied to worthy purposes. Now, at times, I think it's just as beneficial to give to a friend, to give to the needy, to give to someone. But we, the idea of paying it forward is a very important part of material faith. And since you brought up the subject, I want to thank all of you who have helped us to support these blessing calls, because when you give to us, you give to us the ability to pay it forward for more blessing calls and more blessings, and to give to more people and to more outreach. And now we have over 150 blessing givers that are expanding the work. And so that's an example of what tithing does. And the gift to those you care about, those spiritual services that have served you, and that which you would like to see more of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, William. That I really appreciate that. And if you have ties to spiritus, I thank you specifically for that. But I'm sure you got an acknowledgement for it as well. And I think it's time for our blessing, because some people have called in internationally, and we don't want to keep them on the call too long. So I like to keep the cost down as much as I can for everyone who is participating here. And some people participate remotely, and if our timing is too far off, then their synchronicity is not exactly on point. So I appreciate all of your questions, and I apologize again that I did not see this little piece of functionality that I had missed. So we're going to begin our blessing now, and be seated, your shoes and socks off, or as or have them protected in ways that I indicated before. The conveyance will be energetic, and when it's complete, I will let you know. It will take approximately 3 minutes, although we're not on the clock, so it could be a few seconds or a half a minute either way. Then I want you to go and rest and assimilate, because remember, this is energetic, and every part of your body, heart, soul, and being has its own energetic language. Give it a chance to assimilate without imposing the words of your mind upon it. So let us begin. I will begin with an invocation to Yeshua. You may pray the prayers of your heart as you choose to pray, and just simply receive for 3 minutes. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being here with us today and guiding us to say, do, be, hear, and convey the right message, knowing that all of life is really, truly the language of love in its highest and greatest level. Thank you for showing us the higher way and walking with us until we find it. Thank you for being alive in our hearts, that in our heart we may find you and receive the Holy Spirit, and we may be in our hearts and learn to pray better, more effectively, the prayers of our heart. Thank you for being with us when we hurt, when we cry, when we feel lost and we think no one cares. We know that there's one who always cares, who is here and will be with us till the very end and beyond forever. Thank you for conveying this blessing and bringing the Holy Spirit through us, that all things we need may be known by God, may be conveyed to the earth and brought back into our life in the perfect language of unfolding. Amen. the energetic conveyance is complete. Now go, rest, assimilate, and be with God. I wish you a blessed week and much love. Bye-bye from me.